we go. This is the 22nd of September, 2020. I am Charles Stewart in Coleman, Texas, and we are hosting this phone conference and session of a Supreme Court of Law for the USA. And actually, we're bringing these ideas to our Canadian friends and the whole earth. We do have a number of agenda items here that's rather ambitious. We've only got five people starting out with us here, but this is good to start with. And we like to do quickly the formality of saying a prayer to the supreme champion of truth and justice in the universe. So if there's no objection, I'll go ahead and get started on our first agenda item of prayer here. True God Yahweh Jehovah, champion of truth and justice in the universe, please send your Holy Spirit and your angels to guide our discussion. Help us to be logical and reasonable, the logos of John 1:1. Help us to be courteous and respectful of each other in our tone of voice, even when we have disagreements, so that we may do our best to work together and exhaust the pathway of peace with each other, go to extreme lengths to build the community, the body of Christ, the organic body politic of the common people of the USA and Canada and the whole earth here, so that we may more effectively harmonize in manners that support the rule of law, the laws of nature and nature's God, and upon which your kingdom is based. And in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Yeshua, we humbly pray these things. Amen. And with that formality completed, I'd like to go on to agenda item number two and ask if there's anybody that has anything that they would like to add to either our normal list of agenda items or if anybody's got any cases that they'd like to notify the court that they would like to invoke process for bringing a case before the court. Is there anyone in attendance so far that would either like to bring a case or would like to add an agenda item to future agenda lists? Anyone? Floor's open. Well, okay, kind of hearing none. Agenda item two. Agenda item one. Agenda item three. An overview of Organic Hierarchies USA. The evolution of our conferences here is allowing me to put more important items at the top. Well, maybe not more important, but general overview. It's good to start with an overview. Ah, I see Lewis joined with us. Excellent. I'm going to try to do a screen share here. I think I can, with the desktop, because I want to point out that we've got I'd like to review a document called Organic Hierarchies USA, and I don't know if you can see it here. It's web linked in item number three, and this document explains how people can have fully sovereign communities at the local level of just the biblical model and the Torah law and common law model tradition. Is 10 household communities at the local
level. Charles, if I may?
Please, Lewis, go ahead, yes.
we are seeing your screen, but only your desktop, not the document that you are attempting to draw our attention to. So what we're looking at is a black desktop with folders. So yeah, you might want to click the area that so you can select those items to share again, and then share this particular document. Because we're not seeing it.
Okay, thank you, Lewis. My computer is slow, and it seems frozen up right now.
Okay, and you're saying this link is in agenda item, what was it, three?
Yeah, it's the second one.
All right. We see your cursor. I'm seeing your cursor move around.
Well,
Click it. Oh, that right there. That is that the document that you're attempting to bring up? The organic
yes.
It looks like it's in Firefox. When you hovered over it at the bottom, we are able to see the thumbnail, but we're not able to see you bring it up. Maybe I don't know what to tell you there, since I'm not looking at the
Well, a lot of it's mostly for my reference. Others maybe can bring it up through the web link if they've got the invitation. It's the Organic Hierarchies document, and I'm sorry, we're dysfunctional. I'm dysfunctional in the technology end of this, but I think to proceed on with the general explanation of the overview that is presented in the Organic Hierarchies document, and then some of the key points. This document provides a foundation with a number of key points, each of which can be explored more fully as the discussion goes along and the other agenda items are reviewed. They all fit under this Organic Hierarchies document, because people constantly labor under the proposition that the national government has to tell us what to do. The national government's in control. No, no, no. That's not the way God's kingdom works. That's not the way common law works. And technically speaking, if you read between the lines, the USA Constitution system also affirms this. You got to plow through all the Roman Empire municipal gobbledygook to get down to the common law principles embodied in the Constitution. But it's there if you can work, if you can filter through it. And I think our Canadian friends are in a similar position where the empowerment's really there if you know where to look for it. People just don't seem to comprehend that once the whole scheme of the biblical Torah law model and the common law model is to allow the smaller communities, the political subdivisions of the larger communities, to have constitutional convention authority, authority to modify the fundamental law anytime they can develop a consensus around that modification from their constituent stakeholders in the governing body of the level of government in question. And those individual townships, when they elect their town constable by consensus, then the town constables come together to provide the precinct level of governing. And everything higher is dependent upon what happens at the lower levels. And so it's truly an organic association of sovereigns. It's a confederation of sovereign communities that have authority to administer force, to issue warrants. Warrants are related to war. This is the war-making power that's right down at the precinct and even technically the township level. This is the sovereignty when you've got the right to send armed officers out to execute arrest warrants. This is an extremely powerful and fundamental proposition that I know that when we get into deeper discussion and stuff, probably 60, 70, 80% of the people listening to us, they don't really comprehend how this system really seriously empowers us at the grassroots level. This document is really important to review, and it needs some modifications. I've just discovered there's a little bit of redundancy in it. I need an updated version of it, but basically it's an excellent overview of what we're doing and why we're doing it, and it branches off into numerous areas there, as the immediately following agenda items seem to indicate. We'll probably go into those next, but at this point I'd like to open the floor for comments or questions about what I've presented this far in this agenda item. Anyone? I yield. Hearing none. Something's really goofy with my computer here. I'm going to try to close Firefox. And, I don't think it's... Yeah, I better close Firefox. And for some reason, my free conference interface is, there we are. Okay. I don't know why my computer's so goofy. Apparently, there's no questions about agenda item number 3. And I need to reboot Firefox here. And that goes to agenda item number 4. Can anybody tell me what agenda item number 4 is? I hate being all goofy like this. It's probably the USA.
Agenda item 4 was reading from the agenda, again related to similar grassroots social organizing concerns from our Canadian friends. We here discuss concerns for organizing locally, townships, precincts, and counties, and empowering grassroots activists, as explained in extensive detail in the last two documents presented through the web links here. So there are two links. One appears to be to the document organizing township precincts and starting townships, the PDF.
Mm-hmm.
And the next is the treason remedy PDF.
Yes. As I recall, there's actually 3 there, but 3 web links. But the last two, and the third web link, the second of the two in the series there, I'm getting my copy up here. The second of the two is the citations in support of local community organizing. Yes. Right before V1.3, it says citations. And so those are... those are more lengthy documents that go into the details of how to organize these communities. And from the previous document, agenda item 4 or 3, that in the last line there, it talks about key terms. Terms of importance in the last sentence are natural organic law, organic body politic, organic government officers, organic representatives, vote of confidence, consensus building, immediate recall, and proportional representation. And as I'm going through them, I'm thinking of there's a number of other terms that should be added here, and I think I'm getting the computer working better again. But the political subdivisions should also be added, because the township is a political subdivision of the precinct. Precincts are political subdivisions of the counties. The state is politically subdivided into the counties. And in Canada, I think that would be the provinces would be politically subdivided into the counties. Janet, you guys have counties up in Canada, don't you?
We have municipalities. We call them municipalities. And then we go into regions. And then we go into provinces.
And you then don't have counties?
I don't think we do. I'm sorry, I don't even know that, because, like I said, I'm not even a political person. But as far as I know, we have municipalities.
Okay, well, municipalities is the Roman Empire model of government.
Okay.
That in the States here, that is cities. Cities are always municipalities. And technically speaking, the form of provisional government that we're getting for our counties is also municipal. They're not doing the common law model. They're doing the Roman Empire model. And that, and technically speaking, if you read closely, our states are supposed to be common law government entities also, and so is our national government. But guess what? The Roman Empire conspirators have supplanted our common law ideals with their Roman Empire top-down authoritarian model of government, largely because we, the people, have not got together and created our own bodies, our own governmental bodies, in compliance with common law, which could thereunder and would have lawful authority thereunder to dissolve the municipal model of state and national governments and move into the vacuum of truly lawful government like what we are presently laboring under. Anyway, there's a whole lot there. And I thought I heard one of the other fellows saying that there is some kind of counties in Canada there, but I certainly don't know for sure, and I guess we'll just find that out when we get more people. You're muted there, Janet. Okay, but yeah,
yeah,
I guess we should proceed on. And again, thank you, Lewis, for helping me to navigate. I'm not going to try the screen sharing again because that just kind of goofed us up. Is it working?
I think I've muted myself. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we can see everything now. You've got the screen sharing working perfectly.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah, this was the organic hierarchies. If you can see what I'm doing here, this is your link to the organic hierarchies document. And that is very important, fundamental. And then as we're scrolling down under that, the terms.
Charles, if I
terms
may,
of importance,
Do you have the ability to make your screen larger just to maximize it?
Sure.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Yeah, can you see what I've got highlighted here? Terms of importance, natural organic law,
yes.
Organic body politic. Yeah, the formatting's kind of goofy there, but those are the important terms. And at this section, as I'm modifying the agenda items each time I do this, this is the discussion about organizing locally townships, precincts, and counties. And there under, I added a few links in the recent version of this agenda item, in that I added the oath of office forms for our qualified electors, our town constables, and our justice of the peace precinct captain officers. This expands this section of the agenda items to where these oath of office forms are of critical importance in comprehending the duties of the leadership of each of these offices, because each of these leaders, especially at the higher levels, are going to have basic competence in how to create a responsibly self-governing common law community. And whereas it's not very important for the qualified electors at the grassroots household level, it does get progressively more important as people decide to volunteer to be a town constable who's also in control of the economics, the tithing man, and then farther on up, the judicial officer, the precinct captain, the justice of the peace. He really needs to have his act together, because he's going to be in charge of the local judiciary. And actually, with just this exception at the first three levels, I'm fond of articulating that the closer you get to the grassroots, the more power you have. And that really solidifies right down to the precinct level of the judicial power, because the judicial power is an international power in no uncertain terms, so long as it's following constitutional due process of law. When and so down to the town constables and the individual qualified electors, the heads of the household, they're more in control of just executive powers, which is kind of subordinate, but their executive authority increases in proportionality so long as they're acting in good faith and reasonably. They really have actually more executive power than does the judicial officer of the precinct level. So it is a true statement that the closer you get to the grassroots, the more power you have, but you have to be under what Attorney General William Barr here is. He made a great video recently. It's insightful. I shouldn't say great. He's advocating the rule of law. And I've heard in especially criminal prosecutions like the Colorado 9 I've been involved in, the prosecuting attorneys, they got the audacity rock back on their heels and talk about how wonderful the rule of law is and how these terrible, patriotic, misguided people are in violation of the rule of law, and they're here to protect the rule of law, and they're forked-tongued deceivers because they're the ones that are actually building a military police state that is in service of a private interest, a municipal interest, and they are the ones that are violating the rule of law. And in order to comprehend, in order to debate with these jackbooted Nazis about what the rule of law actually means, that phrase is rooted firmly in our common law tradition, and anybody that tells you different is a liar. Okay, you got to know what phrases of importance that the bad guys routinely use. See, when they set the parameters of the conversation by talking about how they are changing the rule of law, and you do what a concept of due process of law called joinder. You join in the issue with them that they raise. They want to talk about rule of law? Yes. Let's join with them in discussing the rule of law and our dissenting opinion about how to properly translate what the rule of law really means. Are you up for really discussing what the rule of law really means, Mr. Prosecuting Attorney? They're usually not. They're usually cowards, and they'll start running from you if you got a well-rehearsed script to talk about these issues. So anyway, after that little bit of a rant, I should pause for comments and questions on agenda item 4. Anybody care to make a comment or question on how we're progressing in the conference here so far? Hearing none. I see my local Texas friends from Brownwood under Ginger Walker's phone number has joined with us. Is that either Ginger or David? Would you guys like to say hi?
Yeah, David here, Charles. Hello, everybody, and I'm just soaking it in,
Excellent. Thank you, David. I've frequently referenced our CPS case and how we've laid a lot of foundation right here in Coleman County and a little bit in Brownwood, too, of what we've, the paperwork that we've laid on some of the people here. And hopefully we'll return to that issue. It's great to have you with us here, David. And
thank you.
Yeah, I guess we'll continue plugging along here. Again, agenda item 4. Anybody have any comments or questions on some of the bold and confrontational propositions that I'm floating here? Anybody? Hearing none. Okay. I think I've got kind of a series here agenda item 5, I think, is probably related to agenda item 4. There's agenda item 5. I guess agenda item 5 does shift gears a little bit. Agenda item 5 is no longer discussing on the solution to the problem. Agenda item 5 is throwing down the gauntlet, talking about the problem. And we need both. It's the yin-yang and balance. We're trying to address the source of the evil on this earth. And this is a constructive notice of treason document that I'm encouraging everybody in our conferences to send out to any public servants that you would be concerned about getting accountability with. Because along with the citations in support document, that's a really important document too. Because what we're talking about here is boldly unfashionable. It's advocating that the present system of government is quite unlawful, and it's oppressive, and it's tyrannical, and it's being used. It's being used in perverted manners that are beyond the scope of the original constitutional, state and national constitutional charters. And they're under parasite. It's created an environment in which social parasites are feeding off of the organic lifeblood, economic and literal, of our common people. It's nothing less than a conspiracy to go to war against our common people, to treat us all as items in commerce under municipal bondage, municipal bonds, and they're under its dehumanizing. It does not respect our constitutionally guaranteed rights. In fact, our constitutionally guaranteed rights are actually problematic for them, and most of the public servants therein know this, and so they routinely ignore our constitutionally guaranteed rights unless we make a big, ugly stink, and then we're accused of being the source of the problem. So, in efforts to streamline the instances when we become frustrated with disrespect for our constitutionally guaranteed rights, it's really good to just put it all in a document. Put it in a document and hand it to them and say, have a nice day, and then tell them that you will be expecting to talk with them about the contents of that document next time you come in to visit them in their office. And that puts you off to a real nice, friendly start, and you can send them out by email or postal mail, not even making a personal appearance. But either way, you're laying a foundation through the very, very friendly and non-confrontational process of just leaving paper documents with them or sending them to them in the postal mail or sending them to them by email. That in and of itself is not causing any inflammatory confrontations. Then you give them enough time to talk to their legal counsel about it, and then you come back in maybe at least a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that, and you open the discussion in, again, a nice and friendly manner, about whether or not they've got any constructive criticism about the document that you've previously delivered to them. And at that point, either they will agree that you've got a real strong case and that we need some powerful changes in the directions that we're advocating, or else they will maybe kind of be a little bit hesitant and voice some concerns, which is also a positive development, because we can talk to people that just got some concerns. Maybe they don't really comprehend some of the more complex parts of the document. We can deal with that. And the other people that are entrenched in the Roman Empire slave trading model of government, they're going to confront you. They're going to resist you. But at this point, they have been fully informed. Okay? You just delivered the document along with the second document showing all the citations that show that these words are true. And they are refusing to recognize any merit to what we're saying. And that means they are part of the treasonous conspiracy that's described in the header of the main document there. And so it simplifies everything. At that point, until you get enough people involved, you're just going to have to allow them to have their way in that public office. But once we get enough people involved and taken back to local community or whatever jurisdiction you're talking about, then the chicken will come home to roost in regard to their entrenching in the evil of the present system of government that we face. So that's the confrontation document. That's the notice of treason document. That's where the big issues come into play. So I'd like to again pause and ask if there's any questions, comments, constructive criticisms about this item in our agenda. Anyone here? Janet, please. Yes, yeah. I see you raised.
We did a similar strategy. I didn't really know the background of all of this, but we had an election here, which is atrocious. Like after three elections, people are still voting for the criminals on either side. It's just unbelievable. And so what we did was during the election, we passed out letters basically saying, like, you know, we have no constitution, we have birth certificate fraud, you're all part of it. And if you're unaware of that, then you're not really, shouldn't be governing anybody. Because we, the people, we know all about that. And what are you doing? So we did send it out and we signed our first name. We put it in their first name and we handed it to them. We didn't mail it because in the election, their secretaries take stuff and then they just throw them out. So a group of us, it's kind of a strategy. I used to write for Amnesty International, and it really works with volume. Like if you can have a lot of volume around an issue, like say if an MLA is getting 200 letters, it will probably have an effect. But like two or three letters, they just look at us like, what is this all about? And they just laugh.
Yeah.
They don't even take it seriously. And I say, what are you doing governing us if you're not aware of these problems? So either they are aware and they're not telling the truth, or they really are dumb as a box of hammers, I gotta say. Anyway.
Yeah. And for those that have arrived late, pardon me?
We didn't call it treason. We just said, please step down because you're interfering with we, the people, governing ourselves. And we called it a notice of liability, and that we will keep track of their name, and we will be making a claim against them as harming the people. So,
I like to focus on the issue that In order to bring force to remove them from offices that they are abusing, You basically need a criminal complaint before you can have somebody come in there and physically remove them from the office. So I would be suggesting, and for people that arrive late here, you're up there in Canada, New Brunswick, I believe, Nova Scotia area, on the east side. So you've got similar problems, but they're a little bit different. But I know in our communities there's a lot of people that like to do the commercial and administrative claim process, but through that type of a process, that can't give peace officers authority to use force to remove people, corrupted individuals, from public offices. In order to do that, you basically need a criminal complaint, I do believe. And the stage is set nicely for that through the quo warranto criminal complaint process that I've developed in other areas. And I see David Chad from Michigan joined with us. Again, good to see you here, David. Comments, questions, anybody?
Thank you.
Hi, David, yeah.
I might add that with regard to a criminal complaint is that I have filed criminal complaints with prosecutors at the local level, police at the local level, the state attorney general, the U.S. attorney in our district of the state, and with the U.S. attorney general and, you know, everybody else that I can think of and the horse that they are riding. Well, as the courts at the state level and at the federal level on up to the Sixth Circuit. And what I have come back with is their so-called rulings that, with regard to the executive branch and the prosecutors, I end up with absolutely nothing. It's just like dropping it into a deep, dark hole. But with regard to the courts at the state level and at the federal level, they have provided me with rulings, you know, case laws, they call it, which some people like to refer to as the common law, which I know is not. But they have provided these rulings that basically say that we, the people, the ordinary so-called citizen, has no interest whatsoever in the prosecution or non-prosecution of another individual. In addition to that, these same types of rulings that I've gotten back also claim that we have no say so over whether or not we get access to our to grand juries of we the people. And so I wanted to say I've got plenty of evidence of this treason that is going on. I yield.
Thank you, David. Janet, go ahead. Unmute yourself, Janet.
Yeah. One of our strategies, and maybe, you know, you need to set me straight here, remembering that we have no constitution. So there is no federal, there is no government that is legal in our country. Never has been. We have no constitution. A lot of us are building our constitution. These people are ruling over us illegally and fraudulently, and many of them know it. So for us, some of us, I mean, we're looking at it like, why do we even pay attention to them? We're kind of doing the midwitch cuckoo thing, which is, you know, this bird goes into somebody else's nest and pushes out the original bird. And so we're not really spending our energy fighting this current, whatever you want to call it, administration, which is fake. We're not really spending our time fighting them. What we're doing is we are developing like a parallel world. And I don't know if that is sensible at all, but that seems to be what we're doing. Because quite frankly, none of us wants to spend money or energy on these flakes. They're doing what they're doing. They have no intention. If you look at our prime minister, sorry to say, he has no intention of, he knows what the law is. He has no intention of following the law. So why would we follow what they're doing? Why would we care what their process is? So what we're trying to do is build a parallel world, and perhaps it's not going to work, or perhaps it's illegal or whatever, but to us, that it just seems a waste of time trying to, all we're thinking about when we say a claim, we're talking like a financial claim. We're not trying to remove them from office. We're not trying to take them to jail. We're just going to ignore them. And I don't know if that's crazy or whatever, but that's been sort of our strategy. I yield.
If I may, I do not at all disagree with you, ma'am. I do agree with you about the claims. I agree with you about the behaviors. What I have some trouble with is in my own thought process of trying to deal with this and how would other Americans see me as a nutcake or somebody who's speaking the truth if I were to say, stand on a rooftop and or a mountaintop and scream as loud as I can to everybody that we have no constitution. When, here we are at election time, and we've got all these clowns that are swearing an oath, raising their hand, placing the other hand on the Bible and all this other kind of stuff, and putting on this show, swearing their oath to the Constitution with the adjoining duty to put that oath in writing. And my question is that if we really don't have a Constitution and we really want to make our point about that, then why is it when we don't organize ourselves together and all go together to conduct a citizen's arrest on somebody who is putting on this show and making it appear to as fraud to the public that we actually have a constitution when we don't? So either we stop talking about it and actually put our foot forward and do something about it, or we don't. I yield.
Mayor.
Thank you, David. I see Janet is showing us a document there that I can't quite see. Janet, can you tell us about the document?
Again, because in Canada, because actually this is getting very well known, is very well known, like the lawyers know it, all kinds of people know it. And so we have a poster out, it said, wanted, reward offered, $30,000 if you can produce official Federation papers for Canada. So this has been out for years. So the Canadian public, a lot of us are very well informed about this, and so are the politicians, and so on. So we're already at that point where I think the fraud has already been established publicly. It's just a matter of some people are saying, well, let's fight them. And other people are saying, why? Why spend the money, effort on it? Just get rid of them, like by building a parallel universe. And we don't see that as crazy. We see that as just practical. I don't feel like spending $200 every time we have to take somebody to court. Why would I? I don't care what they're doing. Eventually, we all know that they're a fraud. Nobody can produce any papers. And we take this to the people, and they're, oh, yeah, we know that. They're not even shocked by it anymore. So that's a pretty big thing. And the other thing is about the birth certificate fraud, right? So we have them over a barrel. If we want to do treason, but to me that's just a whole lot of effort when really we need to get busy with what are the issues that the people need. Like we need to organize ourselves as far as all of the issues that you need in government, right? It's sort of like it's one or the other. Are we going to take our time fighting these people, or are we going to just ignore them? Like, I don't know. To me, that's something I learned at school. Like, I don't hang out with people that are, they're obviously they know what they're doing. It isn't even legal. Like, it isn't even a legal battle. It's a matter of insanity. I think we're up against insanity, and I'm sorry to say, but, how do you treat insane people? You kind of get them some help, but I don't spend all my time trying to prosecute them or, you know, change them in any way. You know, I just get out of my way and we'll run what we have to run. And I think that for us may be the only strategy, because it's going to just take way too much time. And I don't know if we have a whole lot of time. Anyway, again, sorry, I'm not a political person. I'm just a regular person. That's how I got involved in this. And a lot of us know this already. We already know what they've done. And we just want them out of the way. We have no interest in punishing them. We just want to, we won't acknowledge them. And that's it.
Mike, would you mind if I just made one final comment before you come in?
Sure. No
problem. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Well, I would only say that with regard to not paying attention to them, that would include opening up your pocketbook and paying taxes to them as well. So I think that I would agree with you again. So to the point that we'd stop paying tribute to them, and in fact maybe even go so far as to demand our money back from them, lien on their homes, etc. I yield. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you,
Michael.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to both. You know, it's agreed that, you know, it would be nice if we could ignore them. It would be nice if we could ignore their demands for taxes. It would be nice if we could organize a citizen's arrest and, you know, put them in jail for their crimes. However, the reality is they have the guns, the jails, and the soldiers, and we don't. They have the numbers, and we don't. That's the unfortunate reality. I'm not prepared to sacrifice my life, my freedom, all that I've worked hard for all my life and have achieved just so we can make a point and then get arrested. I find that to be a very dysfunctional concept and remedy. And that type of concept is going on right now. We've seen many people go to jail over the years for their various paper strategies and remedies and grand jury concepts. The only place where there has been success in America with resistance, and that was the Bundy Ranch situation. But they had large numbers of people, and that's what made a difference. And it is my belief that we need that same concept in all that we do. Otherwise, we're going to be stepped on and squelched like a bug. I yield for comments.
Thank you, Michael. Anybody else have comments there? Anybody?
Oh, of course me. Of course me.
Janet, please. Yes.
Well, we're already being squished like bugs. Is it any different? Is it any different? We've already been, you know, debased, treated like we had MLAs come out. Like we just had a vaccine pushback, and we threw it down by 2 votes. They wanted mandatory vaccines for all the school kids. And then down the road, I'm sure this was about COVID as well. So we pushed it back and said, you know, it's up to the parents to decide. We were the first province in all of Canada to do that, to push that back. The other provinces, they have mandatory vaccines. We only got it by 2 votes, and because one of the justices said it's not constitutional. But the insults that came from the MLAs, calling us like uneducated, and, you know, like, why do we don't even have to pay attention to what you people are doing. We can do what we want. The insults that were given to the people that were protesting was they despised us. And I was like, you know what? We don't owe them anything. We don't owe them any courtesy. I don't believe in violence. I really don't. But I'm just saying, like, if we're going to be sovereigns, we need to start acting like it, which is, like, you know what? You people are nuts. We're walking away. We don't need you. You're not necessary. And we don't pay taxes. A lot of us do not pay taxes. And it's like they said, in Canada, there's only 37 million of us. If like 2 million of us don't pay taxes, this whole country will fall apart. The other thing is, there are more people than there are in government, at least in our country. We have way more people than government. So the number thing doesn't work. It's like we really, if we have enforcement, which right now some of us are getting very good sheriffs, and because of some of the police, and they're just going, this is not right. We should not be harming the people like this. They did not sign up for this. So some of them do have a conscience, and they are signing up. So it's like...
May I respond?
Yeah.
Okay, you say, thank you. You say we're being already squished like bugs. I would beg to differ. I'm free. I have nobody on my neck physically. I can come and go as I choose. I can be very critical of the government. I can organize, demand redress, and I remain free. If I take up your idea of not paying tax, advocating not paying tax, make a citizen's arrest. In some cases, you could probably get away with the citizen's arrest. It has, been achieved, and up to this day, there are continuing to be occasional citizen's arrests. We had one recently down here in Florida. A guy walked in a restaurant and became very acted like a nut and was crazy. He was tackled. He was arrested by citizens. That's a rare example, though, and you would have wide public support for doing so. However, in a political climate, which has become, like a sport, it's like a team. You know, if you're a Republican, that's your team. If you're a Democrat, that's your team. I can see it happening where either one of the teams gets arrested by a group of citizens and their team comes to the rescue on TV and in the media. So it would be a big fiasco and it would fail unless there was some clear outright violation. For example, let's say a deputy shoots somebody in cold blood and we make a citizen's arrest. That could go over. That could succeed, but that would be a very rare situation. I'm just saying that our situation's different in the United States. We're a police state. Every jurisdiction of police, sheriff, has been weaponized and militarized. They frequently strut their power in parades. It's very common now that our military or that our police and sheriff jurisdictions have military vehicles in their arsenal of vehicles. And it's a different situation here. And we have seen several incidents in our history recently where the government has, raided, attacked, groups of people, the Branch Davidians, for example, back in the 90s, they killed 80 men, women, and children. And to this day, they get away with it. And any prosecution of that tragedy went nowhere, really. So we have a real situation on our hands here in America that is a very difficult one. And it's not going to be some easy thing to just resist and stop paying taxes and make citizens arrest. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. We're getting arrested for conducting grand juries. We're being charged with filing false papers and false claims, paper terrorism. They have charged people. They're charging us with simulating a legal process or simply demanding, redress of grievance. I think they went above and beyond when they start filing liens on judges outside of, the realm of due process. I think they maybe stepped out of bounds there, and that's why they got arrested. But we've got to come up with a way to trigger the masses the ignorant masses. That's the other problem we're dealing with. The masses of people are stupid. And I'm speaking of Americans. I don't know Canadians. But I do know Americans, and most Americans are stupid, ignorant. I'm embarrassed to be called an American anymore. And this is our greatest enemy. I yield.
If I may, I think this is probably about the fifth or sixth conference meeting that I've shared with you, and I've frequently heard say what we shouldn't be doing. I just heard you say about what we should be doing is educating the masses. But my question is,
organizing the masses.
Organizing the masses. Are you down there in Florida? I don't know what your occupation is, if you're retired or what you're doing down there in Florida, but are you involved with anything else besides these meetings here that we're doing? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Very much so.
Would you care to elaborate on what are you involved in the educational system down there or anything like that, or in the government or anything to change this?
Yeah. We organize within our two or three county region, and we find issues of common ground with victims of government, and we begin to advocate for them, with them, and we build a camaraderie. We build a fellowship based on the victimization by bad government. And we're building an effort. It's a slow march, but it's full speed ahead, and just went to a county commission meeting today. Spoke twice, spent half my day there waiting and talking with others to speak. Frequently get put in the newspaper, published by our local two or three newspapers, talking about the tyranny. And we've created a concept called a county congress. And we have a website. It's a blueprint. It's just a concept, a strategy for a blueprint of remedy, organizing county by county, state by state, very similar to the fashion of the founders when they created the Continental Congress, the committees of safety, committees of correspondence. If we can't begin to make a difference in our own local county government, how in the world do we expect to change the state or the nation? Our efforts must begin at the county level, and we must organize through these conference calls. Each county should have their own conference call or region. Our concept was to basically organize around the county and get with adjacent counties, two or three counties that are adjacent, and build a network. And do it based on tyranny that is taking place. And I think we're missing a huge opportunity with what's going on in the Black Lives Matter, the resistance that's being met there. We really need to reach out with these people, reach out to them, and find common ground. Because there is much common ground with those on the left in the Democratic and minority communities. If we can just put aside our egos, our petty agendas in some areas, and unite on common threats, the greatest.
Janet, would you mind if I respond to that?
I yield.
Well, and I was just going to say, if you're referring to these people as crime victims of government, I just might let you know that back in the 1980s, when I moved out to California from Texas to with these ambitions to get in the film industry, I got tied in with Doris Tate, who was the mother of the Manson murdered actress Sharon Tate, and I got onto her founding board of the Coalition on Victims' Equal Rights. And that national organization, the work that they did ended up getting legislation in virtually all the states of the United States of crime victims' rights. And, you know, it seemed like they have no problem in legislating something that gives the people the rights to go after other of our people to make sure that they stay in jail, that they're prosecuted, and you know, and that crime victims actually have rights with regard to the people, other people that are going to jail or being prosecuted, but they will not do anything with crime victims of government crimes. And so I think that there needs to be some focus on what you just got through saying with regard to government crime victims as to how we can compel the government to turn introspectively to look at itself as a perpetrator, a potential perpetrator, and us as victims of government crimes. I yield. Please, Jen.
If I may respond to that, this is where organizing plays a big part. We must be able to organize and unify people behind the idea of resistance and remedy and redress. You know, that's the priority. It has to be. If we can't get people to come and listen and organize, then what are we doing? We might as well just quit and go home and wait for the tyranny to pound on our door. It really is just that simple. It's like any other organization. The union, for example, they organize, and that's how they get their voice. You might not agree with their voice and what it says and what it does, but you know, there's a particular vocation in America, the truck driver. You have two classes of truck driver, union and non-union. The union truck driver makes double and triple what a non-union truck driver makes. And that's because they leveraged their power, they unified, and they organized. And they have achieved a voice that is being heard, and it is causing a difference to be made. I'm not a big union advocate, but I do believe in the right to have a union. And I know a lot of people that grew up in union families where I'm from in Ohio, and they lived a good middle-class life because their father was a unionized worker, whether it be a truck driver, sheet metal worker, auto factory worker, whatever. But the fact is, organizing gets results. I yield.
Hey, this is David from Texas, and I'm a little hesitant to even mention this because it's maybe premature and the jury's still out. And if you guys are familiar with what's going on, then if you have any feedback, let me know. But there is the technical term is, it's a movement for a people's party. They are working within the system, so don't get me wrong. They are definitely seem to be outliers. And kind of kicked out. But if you guys are looking to a movement for a people's party, peoplesparty.org, they're extremely organized. One of the gentlemen who kicked it off Nick Brannon got booted out of the Bernie camp at some point in 2016. I'm not advocating, you know, this movement. I'm still researching it myself, and I'm cautiously optimistic. But if you look into it, they are extremely organized, and we need to link up with a group, maybe not this group, but a group that is this organized and this nimble, and this they're shaking it up. So if this isn't the group, I think linking up and continuing to organize and all come together with a group similar to this, they got their stuff together. So I yield.
Yeah. Janet, please.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to respond to what Mike said. Mostly I agree with what he's talking about, is that how this gets done is at the local level. It's definitely, that's where the power we're talking about in the agenda, but we're also, we can see it, it's in our face, and we can see the effect that we have. We just had an incident where there was another thing I wanted to say about what Mike was saying, is I thought that too, when we were trying to get people to write the Constitution, it's like, oh my gosh, it's like pulling teeth. People are like, do I have to read a paragraph? Do I have to synthesize? Do I have to analyze that and write it? Oh my God, it's like, are you really interested in saving your country, your world, your family, whatever? That for them was just, they don't even see sometimes the value of Constitution. You're right, we're in a different space. We already see what happens to you folks and other countries. Our character is different from the French. The French is burning the city down. They're not having it. That's their way. We're all trying to be kind of, you know, we're trying to be civilized and this and that. But you know what? How far can you push the people and you're going to get that? In Canada, I think we're kind of close. We're kind of getting close. If we don't get any response, if we don't see any results, I'm not sure what's going to happen there. That people are going to say, oh yeah, let's just write a constitution, let's just do this and, you know, take these people to court. People are not going to continue. We've been going through this since March. For us, a lot of us have been shut down. The cities are shut down. I got people, they're only in the second stage where they can come out and shop and get gas. It's like, it's ridiculous. Our border is still closed. And we've only had two deaths in New Brunswick. Two deaths. And they were both in their 80s. So the foolishness of it and the lying of it, how much further can you push the people before you're going to get a little Paris thrown in there? The other thing I wanted to say, when I was talking about the people like being kind of not very smart, that's kind of not the point. I had to learn that, because I thought that was the point too. Education is important, but your John Adams said the Constitution makes absolutely no sense unless the people are moral and either religious or spiritual. And that is where, to me, I had to go there, because all the people have a moral compass. And it doesn't matter how smart they are, it is whether or not you can tick into that moral compass. Every person of every level of society, it's like, do they not know what's right and wrong? Like lying, stealing, hurting, harming people, that's what unites us. Is that moral compass. And he said that about your constitution. He said it makes absolutely no sense if the people are not moral and they're not either religious or spiritual. And you know what? I think that's what's wrong in Canada, because we don't have God in anything. At least you guys, I've always respected, you are a nation under God. You will say it out loud. And I think that is your saving grace to the world. And it's like, I am fighting for that, for my little area, is to put God back into that, because that's where the morality reaches everybody. Doesn't matter your education level, you'll find a lot of people will know what's right and wrong. stealing your property is not right. Not nobody thinks that's okay. Now, they may not understand what are unalienable rights, and can you list like 14 of them, but you know, by gosh, people will jump all over what's wrong, like, you know, harming children, pedophilia. Oh, yeah, you'll get a whole community going crazy over that. Right now we have in Nova Scotia, the UN has declared that they are going to expropriate 200 miles of coastland. So people that have like Christmas tree farms, they're going to take them, and if they don't comply, there's not to be any human activity 200 miles off the coast. And if there is, the businesses, they're going to charge them $1 million. And what they will do, if they haven't paid the fine within the year, they will expropriate the land and take the fine out of their property. So the people came to me, because I'm one of the leaders for Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, and I said, there's a problem, that's in our face, and how are we going to react? So now they do have some sheriffs, they have organized themselves much better than we have, but I said to them, we can come together, as like you were saying something about maybe two like adjacent communities can come together, and they can say, I don't know if we have a militia. I said, let's go to the gun clubs, and let's talk to them and say, is there a militia being formed? And we will stand with Nova Scotia because we're right beside them. And their population is about 1 million and we're about 770,000. So together, if we have those people that will stand, you were talking about like a show, and just do not allow those people on your land, because that's the UN. They have no authority. Trudeau had no authority to give them authority to make that law. And so this is an excellent idea at the community level. We are responding to that problem. As issues are happening, we're responding as a community. Now it's like two communities coming together. So there was a lot like what I liked about what Mike was saying. I believe that. Anyway, I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. Comments, questions there, anybody?
Well, I might ask a question of Charles of how he sees trying to garnish the attention and support of a group such as the People's Party that was mentioned there. You know, I was looking at their website and things, and they are 100,000 strong, they say. And they all the things that Janet just got through saying is, you know, kind of their premise, their mission statement. And yet they are trying to work through the existing system with a political party, whereas we are trying to work in a concurrent but separate jurisdiction entirely in the common law. And
yes,
these people don't comprehend that. They think that it's, they're trying to work through the existing civil, municipal, you know, boot stomping. So please elaborate on that in your view.
Thank you, David. That is a pivotal focus, the difference between the common law jurisdiction that is represented, the qualified electors are represented by peace officers. That the phrase peace officer is a phrase exclusive to the common law jurisdiction. The municipal police officers are identified in statute as peace officers, but it's a disingenuous statute because peace comes through common law. Peace cannot come through municipal law. Municipal law is not law. It's an oxymoron. And everything gets down to force. And Michael from Florida there frequently talks about triggers. And I like to use that term in a different context than what Michael generally uses it for. He's talking about triggers to make light bulbs go off in people's mind. And that's really a good application of the word, no doubt. But what I'm looking at and where I think David is trying to prompt me to go is everything gets down to administration of force. And Janet was talking earlier about wanting to avoid direct conflict with the authorities, and we can kind of just go along and not really get entangled there. I was going to prompt that in Janet's realm, when Royal Canadian Mounted Police come and try to arrest your people without due process of law, or the similar, more current issue, when they've got the vaccine needle and it's just inches away from your arm, and they're obviously intending to put that vaccine in your arm, then the point I'm trying to make is there are points where the municipal governmental authorities are no longer just an intellectual exercise. It's a real world breach of the peace. They're actively involved in committing crimes against the people. The individual officers there are behaving in criminal manners in this instance. And we can either confront them at the very instances when they're trying to put the needle in our arm, or when RMCP or FBI or local county sheriffs are wrongfully arresting us without any probable cause. They're wrongfully administering force against us. It happens routinely. I'm sure I don't need to belabor the point with this audience. And we can either wait until they do surprise attacks on us, like they routinely do. They routinely wait until the last minute and arrest us with no warning, no invitation to come in into court. We'd be glad to come into court and talk to them about it before the arrest, but they don't do it that way. They wait and they grab us in secret SWAT team type manners and take us and drag us off to the jail where we're away from our notes, and then they drag us in jumpsuits before the court where we can't even refer to our notes, and then we're forced to make a dysfunctional response. I dare suggest that rather than waiting until our individuals are abused in the surprise attacks, like what I've just referenced here, that our more strategic and effective option is to present the documents, like I've already outlined, of constructive notice of treason documents, showing them that their normal pattern of behavior is criminal. It is war against the people. Please deny if you have any specific objections to these assertions. Do so in a timely manner. And then the follow-up documents, we've got the right to elect our own peace officers. Our peace officers have the right to elect our own judicial officers. Our judicial officers have the right to form juries. Our juries have the right to try criminal accusations against your corrupted municipal officers, and they're under to exercise whatever force is necessary in neutralizing the threat that's coming against our people in quick and efficient manners. And if you have any objections to our proceeding in this manner, please set it forth in a timely manner, because in a month or two down the road, we expect to be doing arrests against your corrupted municipal public servants, and we're not going to sit here like sitting ducks for you to pick off at your convenience, at your opportunistic moment, to pillage and plunder and destroy our common people. I see no other option there are other options, but the most strategic option, I do believe, is to present the documents, giving them lots of notice up front of their wrongdoing and our right to use our peace officers to administer force to enforce lawful due process judgments against the corrupted conspirators that are acting like legitimate government agents. And so I should probably yield on that point, but I believe it's a fairly tight focus where our solution's at. Some of us are just having a little bit of difficulty comprehending how the like an eyeball dilating, coming together in a consensus community manner, all of this should optimally come together. And I'm willing to be shown wrong, but I do believe this is the most strategic process for confronting the devil worshipers that are destroying all of our nations on this earth.
If I may?
Yes, David.
Well, then I would like, I mean, that sounds very reasonable and rational. I haven't heard anybody criticize your documents, Charles. So I might invite the question to Mike in Florida and to is it Dave in Texas?
Yes.
I might invite each of them to maybe address the possibility of going to the People's Party, pursuing the People's Party with other people, possibly, and your documents or some rendition of your document, because my only criticism is with all the capitalizations and, you know, all the standards that differences that I have with you know, the way I write. And Mike's commissions and all the local organizations that he is surrounded by, to take those documents and to pursue that reasonable course of action and garnishing a lot of support with the people that I assume that are also rational. I yield.
Thank you, David. Michael, anybody? David in Texas?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, go ahead, David.
All right, I'll take it. Yeah, I think here's, you know, I know what I struggle with is I see basically two options. You work, you create something that, I mean, we created it. So you, when I say create, I mean to have it into the domain out there. You create something that is, for lack of a better term, outside of the current system, or you get in the belly of the beast and you work within the system. And again, please do not misunderstand me. I just felt, you know, I felt led to mention this People's Party. I don't know if they are the one, but I think, actually, I know for a fact that we can straddle the fence. Timing is everything. And I feel in my gut that we can straddle the fence with one leg in the system, one leg out of the system, and they will come. That the people, the true people, and let's just say that this is a group. This is a true for a People's Party, and you know, and the only thing that loses me is party. But there's nothing wrong with having some fun. So let's say that this is a group. When we bring them to our side at some point, and they will see it. They will see it. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is you work within the system to gain consensus, to gain relationship, and timing is everything. This could be a 5-year. This could be a 500-year. We do not know. But I just feel that this, you know, this duality system, and this includes, you know, on up into Canada, and this is a global thing. You know, this duality, this binary thing is divide and conquer. That's the way it's set up. You know, and a true third choice in the secular within the system
as we bring people, and again, there's a mesh and a molding of both sides. So I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of dancing around this. I believe you can work within the system to create a new system. And it's almost like you're just waiting in the wings until the appropriate time to, you know, and you begin, you know, to educate. And I just, you know, and that's what I've struggled with is how do you penetrate the masses? And so if you can get a group, or and if you think about it, 100,000 people, let's say that's accurate and legitimate. That's a very, very small group. And so you begin to get into an organization and expose them to the revelation that we have and the direction and the work that we're doing in the common law, biblical principles, and you know, it's God's will that it'll all work out. So, I yield.
If I may, this is Mike in Florida. I'd like to agree with him that we definitely need to attempt to work within the system to a degree, knowing that the system is dysfunctional, that kind of limits our involvement in the existing system. But I believe that we can work within it and that we should work within it somewhat. Now, that's the debate. How much is that somewhat? That's another discussion for another time. But I just wanted to agree with you, David, that your thoughts, I believe, are right on track. And as far as this other group, you know, they have 100,000 people. It's going to be difficult to persuade them to listen to us when we're small as we are. I definitely think we should investigate them and find out what their platform is and where their money's coming from. It's pretty unusual that they can have a group that size so quickly, and you know, makes you wonder who's financing them. So, but I think we've got to start thinking out of the box, outside the box, and traditional ways and ideas must be eliminated, and we must, you know, try new ways. I know Patriots have been holding these conference calls for quite a few years, and nothing has been achieved except for several people going to jail, one dying in jail, Terry Trussell. And we continue spinning in the public hamster wheel. And
yes,
we've got to think of new ways, and mm-hmm. we got to gain traction.
Well, I just I haven't heard either one. I can't imagine any other any better rationale than what Charles has proposed in these documents, and I am wondering why you know, nobody's using these documents. I know what I've been doing with them. But I wonder why nobody else seems to be using these documents to try to persuade other people that you're associated with to work with those documents, and because it's a very rational thing. I don't think that if people are rational that are in your groups in Florida or the People's Party, as a national group, that it should be that difficult to persuade them to work with these documents. Are you, Janet, you want to go ahead? I saw you raise your hand.
Yes, thank you. Just two things. We had a People's Party in Canada in the election in the fall, and 1.6 of the people voted for it. They were balance the budget, slow down the immigration, all kinds of things that were considered radical, and they were charged with being racist because we wanted to control our immigration numbers. And so in Canada, we know very well, and I think you probably have the same problem, but we know very well that the only reason that the liberal or the conservatives, which are the same bird, two different wings, they get in because of power, because of lobbying, because of corruption. So we're assuming that if we have a party, we had a beautiful party, and we went past the time of a political solution. We have gone past because our country is totally lawless. At least before, they used to pretend it was a real election. Now there's evidence all over the place. How did that election happen? Oh, machines, and people are buying votes, and things are manipulated. And this is our third election. This is our third one. And it's like, how do you think these people are still winning after all the things that have come down? Trudeau has had at least 12 ethics violations and breaking the law, and they're still voting for Liberals. How do you think that's happening? It's not because that party has a chance. We did not have a chance. The NDP, the Green Party, the Liberals, and the Conservatives, they're all communists. Plain and simple, everything that they are saying, if it was a fair election where people actually were a party going up against a party and the people, but here, I can say very, very firmly, this is not the case. It is a total fraud. And in several countries, it's a fraud, and we all know it. So you haven't got a chance of winning. We've still got people running. They're going, well, we're good people, like for the church. We just had a lady here. She wants to run kind of similar. She doesn't have a chance. You have to look at what's really going on. These people are communists. They are not going to let you win an election. You may have the numbers, but you'll never find out that you have the numbers. That's what happened to Max Bernier. They made him out to be a racist. And he was our hope and salvation that we would have had like a totally independent, right-sided party. And everything he said was very simple. Let's fix the budget, like fairness, you know, respect, like transparency, all of those things. And the whole country turned against him. So it's like either the people are really bad or the government's really bad or both. So I don't know which it was because I tried to help this man run and he has integrity, but he's in the system. He has an offshore account, all those kinds of things. He works within the system. He's a lawyer. He was in the finances. He never changed anything in 18 years in government. So the whole system is rotten. That's how we see it here. Again, you guys, like we tried to work within the system. And the system is rotten. It's totally, and you have to see, these are like what Charles was saying, these people are criminals. They're not police. They are not RCMP. They are not lawyers. Like half of them right now, for us, they're pedophiles. And they've all been identified. So are they at any point going to give up the gravy train? Oh, no. And they will, we just had an election where two really nice people, they voted Aaron O'Toole in, and he just got COVID. Him and the Premier of Quebec just got COVID on the same day. Really? Yeah. So there's a whole lot going on behind the scenes politically. That train, as far as I'm concerned in Canada, has already gone past. We cannot work with anything there. There's nothing working. The healthcare system doesn't work, the political, the justice system, the education system, the pharmaceutical, you name it, the sports, everything is out the window. Nobody's following the law. So again, it could be different here, but we don't want to get to the point where you guys are. You're in slavery. Like, if you're willing to, okay, you know, I'm willing to accept this, and I'll give away this. I guess we're at the point where we have a choice. We're not willing to give away anymore. They've already crossed our lines, and I think we're ready, some of us, to push back. And I don't want violence. We have used the letters because, as I say, I use that in Amnesty International, calling out tyrants, and it is very effective. But you need thousands of letters. You don't need 10 letters. You need thousands of them. And that works. It does. It is a very good strategy. I yield.
Thank you, Janet. Is there comments or questions from anybody else here? I'd like to point out that the next item on our agenda is kind of related to some elements of the current discussion here, elections. The next item on the agenda, I believe, is the Electoral College. It slows my computer down to even look at my notes there. In the USA, and I referenced earlier that you have to look close to find the common law elements of our USA Constitution documents, and one of because the documents at state and national levels are basically Roman Empire models of government. That's what they're engineering with their goofy new inventions, separation of powers doctrine, and all kinds of goofy stuff, bicameral congressional assemblies. This is all Roman Empire gobbledygook to inhibit the ability of the people to exercise the sovereignty directly. They're really goofy documents, but they do have common law elements that we can capitalize on to empower our grassroots people. And one of them is the provisional in the U.S. Constitution document for an electoral college. The electoral college is an assembly of the electors of the United States of America that are supposed to come together to decide who should control the executive office of the municipal government of the United States of America. This is real common law empowering. The very word elector is based upon the concept of qualified electors, and those qualified electors at their broadest level are filtered out from the common rabble. The people that are stupid, like has been articulated here before quite correctly, the people that are stupid are not qualified electors. Qualified electors assemble in the local township communities as 10 members, and there might be only 10 people in a major state or something to at least start out with. We start out small, but these are common law jurisdiction people, electors, and the very provision in the U.S. Constitution document for mechanisms for counting the votes of electors, a certain specific number of electors, that is a mechanism that we can hijack, basically. We can take away from the current municipal agents that are controlling how these electors are chosen. Do y'all realize that the head of the Republican Party, they submit to all the secretaries of state their list of electors for Donald Trump. And the Joe Biden Democrats, they're scheduled to submit their list of electors. We need to be submitting our list of electors, along with a note telling them to totally disregard the Republican and Democrat list of electors. We should be doing that in all states. That would be a game changer. And there's other issues on the constructive notice of treason document and the remedy document of forming our own self-governing communities. But I outlined some broad concepts there, and I detest moderators that monopolize the discussion. And so I'll yield here for comments or questions from any of our good friends. I yield.
Who's that?
I think
pardon
that was
me,
brilliant. That was brilliant, Charles. That's a great idea. I think dealing with on a national level, we could get all of the so-called independents together with that proposition, and whoever wants to take the lead in collecting all of those qualified elector nominees or whatever we want to call them, I think that should be nurtured. I yield.
Thank you, David. Others? Anybody? I do. To build on your good comments there, David, I do wake up in the middle of the night thinking about things like these and grab note papers and write them down, you know, like I'm sure you all have experienced things like that. Because I do believe there's immense power at our fingertips But it's largely obscured. Even most of us only have fleeting times where we think about these things and we can't get to a notepad quick enough to write it down before we forget about it. And so even though we've got tremendous capabilities of empowerment at our fingertips, if only one or two of us know about it, or if the one or two of us that think about it on occasion can't even remember it, then we're doomed to being disempowered. And we need, and this feeds off of the recruiting thing, like David Walker in Texas here is talking about, and Michael, about the building the numbers. See, when reasonable minds, the people that are realistically concerned about these kind of issues, and that know that we are saturated with COINTELPRO subversives that are doing Judas Goat operations to mislead the masses off into the pit, people that are intelligent. This is our target audience. I detest appealing to the lowest common denominator, the stupid people. I don't want to do that. If we appeal to the people that are in the habit of doing their homework and of thinking for themselves in reasonable, logical manners, and if we take the time and patience and nurture them to the point where, as Michael talks about, light bulbs go off in their head, a triggering mechanism. We trigger their ability to put together enough cerebral synapses to where it makes a little light bulb go off in their head. It's like pulling the trigger, like what Michael was talking about. When we can achieve that, then that on a routine basis, where it's not just once or an oddity, it's something where we can present well-outlined, well-articulated arguments that will cause those light bulbs to go off in the minds of reasonable, intelligent, concerned people, then we've got a program that can grow very quickly. And people like what our friend David Walker in Texas and others have talked about, other organizations, Michael and I and Abraham, we gave a call in to Anna Von Wright's webinar. She's one of the competitors in these constitutional law realms with us. She calls it a webinar because it's basically her talking and a little master of ceremonies girl there that's working with her that is reading questions from a chat window. And so they frequently, we've got people that are control freaks that are not organic community consensus builders. And it's of critical importance that our community move forward with what we are capable of developing consensus around. And then other groups, like the People's Group that David Walker talked about here, or Anna Von Wright's group, once we start getting a righteous, a good, a solid, a well-thought-out process moving forward, then the other people that they don't have any insights as to how to actually comply with constitutional provisions in empowering manners. They're a bunch of goofballs. And we have been blessed with the precious insights as to how to streamline the profound changes that we are seeking here. And they will eventually jump on our bandwagon. It certainly would be good if David or others are inclined to reach out to these people and to present some of our documents to them. That's good, noble, righteous, qualified elector work. Yes, and it does deserve credit. But I, as one of the central organizers of this effort, and I dare suggest others that are capable of assuming leadership position, like for the super states that we've outlined here, that we should keep our eye on the ball, on our process here. And hopefully down the line, after we get a few more numbers and after our documents start getting distributed more widely and come across the desk of some of these organizations, then hopefully they will embrace us and they will maybe ask us to tweak our program a little bit so that we're compromising with them in some areas where we can do so without compromising our principles. We can throw them a few bones here and there, but if they will merge with us in a common agenda. But we don't want to invoice too much of our precious limited time and energy in chasing them, because we're saturated with COINTELPRO subversives that do efforts similar to ours and frequently sound very good. But as soon as you start investing time and energy with them, it frequently turns out that you're wasting your precious limited time and energy, because frequently a lot of the leaders of these good-sounding groups, they're just not going to budge. They're here to serve an agenda of distraction. They're not concerned about really saving the common people from tyranny and despotism. So I wanted to articulate that. I should yield and ask for comments or questions or constructive criticism here. I yield. Anybody?
Well, this is David from Texas. I just kind of had a little vision. What attracted me to this group was, you know, the Republican and Democrat, and I'm speaking just in the United States, is totally, I mean, it's the same cabal. And so here comes, you know, and it's fresh, and that's probably what was attractive as well. You know, you got the Green Party, and you got the Libertarians, but this was fresh. Let's figure out a way to continue to build this, the young lady that talked about an alternate, you know, almost an alternate universe, and let's build this alternate, and then, you know, possibly infiltrate, if you will, a few individuals get in to, maybe a third party type situation where it gains some traction and starts, and at the same time, there's this parallel universe that's being built. I mean, our work continues every day, and we keep moving forward, and then God willing, the time to merge. You know, Charles, let me ask you this. You know, you mentioned earlier about, you know, a little bit of compromise and possibly without sacrificing principles, possibly merging, and that's my word. I don't know if you use the word merge, but, you know, when would that happen? When let's say either us or them gain some more influence to a point where we're able to affect the masses? I mean, at what point, timing-wise? I mean, I'm not asking for a specific timeline, but you know, let's say that little scenario did play out. They get so far down the road. Let's hypothetically say that they've gained some, you know, in the current system, and they've gained some leverage and are in some positions of influence, and then get to a certain point, and then there is almost a bridge, a group of human bridge that is able to say, hey, look, here's this, let's implement this, get back to common law. And implement it. I mean, what kind of timing? I mean, what would that look like? I yield.
Thank you, David. The way I visualize we're talking about our organic communities growing, and I think you're describing two or perhaps more separate organic communities that have their own leadership and their own general community. And I believe that our little group here should keep focused on what we're doing and growing our community. And there will be points at which we will cross over. And certainly if people like yourself are inclined to reach out and try to build bonds, that would be a good use of your time if you feel so inspired to do it. But I think don't let that interfere with the priority of building our group and reaching out with our documents, because we, through the common law and the biblical Torah law, we have the keys to the kingdom. And the rest of these other organizations that are frequently larger than us, there will be a point in our communication with them through perhaps you or others, or perhaps some of them, maybe they will approach us. There will come a point where we will have common issues, common agenda items, and our solutions will be poised to bring about remedy for the problems in a more quick and efficient manner than what they are doing. And our documents will be laying foundations for those solutions to come forth, because we're describing the self-governing communities and everything. I believe the organic process here is for us to keep growing our own collective consciousness and community, and be alert and aware for when other groups are having overlap with us and seemingly inclined to join with us, and certainly taking every opportunity to do that, so long as we're not compromising our principles and our own efficient mechanisms of growing. But keep in mind there's a danger there when they start offering us fruits and things. If we'll just compromise our principles a little bit here, or we'll compromise our principles a little bit there, you know, there's people on the right wing here, Trump supporters, that Roy Potter, he does YouTube videos that I really like. He's been speaking out against Donald Trump, and he hates Biden worse than Trump, I believe he admits, and like I do. But the point is that there's people around us that want us to talk about how bad Biden is and lighten up on Mr. Trump because he's the lesser of the evils. We can't compromise our principles on that. Trump is purposefully misleading the right wing of the people that are more concerned about constitutional principles and stuff. Trump is purposefully misleading. You cannot compromise your principles on when the lesser of the evil is still evil. We can have no part of the evil if we're godly, righteous people. It's adulterating the petri dish of the organic culture that we're trying to nurture here. You have to throw it all out. So anyway, I hope that addresses your issue there, David. I yield.
If I may, this is David, and Nikki was going to have a conference call that started at 9:00 Eastern Standard Time, and I was going to bug into that one just to see what's going on. And so I just wanted to part tonight to say thank you, and also to encourage you, Charles, to see if you can develop that idea further of just a single focus, a rational focus of all these groups coming together. They don't have to merge their values or anything together to come up with a list of names that basically are to be submitted as an independent line of voter whatever you want to call it, whatever you called it. So I just please
develop that more.
Yeah, and I'm out of here. I'll see you.
All right, thank you, David.
Yeah. Hi, right. I must also go. Thank you very much, everyone. It was very helpful. Taking quite a few notes. And thank you for your support and listening. Bye.
Thank you.
See you next time.
All right. Bye now. Well.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Pardon me?
Oh, I was just saying bye.
Yeah. I think that brings us down to just three of us here. As Janet is checking out. This is the two-hour mark. I do like to go through the formality of closing our official business meeting here. I think we've covered quite a bit. I would like to retain the floor open. Abraham's no longer with us. It's just David Walker and Michael from Florida and myself here. But officially, we're closing the business meeting here, and we can talk for a while longer if you fellas feel like I'm hardballing it here a little bit. I yield to either of you.
Yeah, I'm game. What's a good broad topic we can.
Well, let's see what Michael might be suggesting. He might have household duties there. Michael, how are you feeling about chatting further here?
Yeah, I can be on here just for a little bit. I do have a live YouTube channel I want to watch at 9 o'clock. I can kind of do both. That's not a problem.
Okay. How'd you feel about I do like to think we were touching on traction points here, where there's general issues about organizing at the grassroots level that are obviously important to you. Did any of my rantings related to that, or any of the other comments from anybody else, cause you to rethink your positioning on any of these related issues here, Michael?
Well, I'm kind of stuck on the thought of our founders. You know, it pushes me back to remind myself of the day they lived and how they did what they did. It had never been achieved in history until our country did it. So I'm forced to look at the situation and circumstances that made that happen. First of all, the people back then were a very religious people and a very moral people. And John Adams did say, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people, and it is inadequate to the government of any other. That's what he said. And that's a very true fact. You can't make bad people be good. You can't make stupid people be smart. You know, it's something that you learn over a period of time. So we're dealing with two liabilities right out of the chute. We have critical masses that are ignorant, and we have a very immoral populace.
Yeah.
So we've got two negatives right off the bat. And it's an uphill battle. But with God, all things are possible.
Yes.
That's the state of Ohio's motto, actually.
Uh-huh.
Today, if you were to try to make a motto of that nature, it would be ruled unconstitutional or illegal.
Well, another issue undercurrent that both of you pick up on, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is now off of the Supreme Court. You're talking about ungodly people there, you know, non-Christians. I do kind of think she might fall within that category. And so this is really throwing a wild card in the whole. It's adding the chips on the table for this election, because it's not only about the presidency, but now it's also about replacing a judicial officer on the Supreme Court of the municipal government of the USA. The stakes on the table during this election process are becoming incredibly high, and both camps, both the Trump administration and the Biden camp, have made statements to the effect that they may choose to not respect whoever is declared officially to be the winner there. And at that point, this election could cause a total meltdown. There's a number of reasons why this election could turn into a meltdown. And if you step back and look at the broader picture, the coronavirus thing is merely a mask, I believe, for the fact that they've hyperinflated this economy to the breaking point, and now they're trying to foreclose on the whole nation, and the coronavirus thing is just an excuse for corporate takeover of the whole nation. And so they're under, it's not really a health care issue that this coronavirus declaration is about. It's an economics issue. It's about who gets to control the economic resources of the nation. And they were on the precipice. Everything was going down. The stock market was going down until this coronavirus emergency was declared. Then the stock market started bouncing back up. So we've got a lot of powerful undercurrents to focus on here. And I'm losing my train of thought. I should yield here.
Well, I agree with you, Charles. You're dead on. And I feel that they are bringing this thing all the way. I mean, this is it. America is no more. She's not coming back as we've known it. They're bringing it down. That's why I feel a sense of urgency to build critical mass. We've got the foundation. We've got the cornerstone. We've got it there. It never went away. It just got rediscovered. The work that you and your team have done, I mean, look, it's here. That is, I mean, this thing's coming down, and that's why I'm not trying to put a date on it. Don't misunderstand me here. But I think, you know, we got to get behind these levers or be ready to, you know, to go, because they're bringing it down. They're bringing it down. I mean, all indications are it's, you know, it's coming down. There's nothing happening spontaneously. Now, I'm not going to go so far as to say that they took out Ginsburg or that she died 3 months ago, but I'll tell you that every single thing at this point in the game is scripted down to the most minute detail. We stay in the shadows. We're off script. We're being led by higher power. And when, not if, and that's the $1 million or the $1 billion or the $1 trillion question, when this thing comes down, we've got to be able, you know, because when Michael was just talking earlier about our founding fathers, and I've toyed around with this, you know, for the last few years, there was a bloody revolution that had to come to pass in order for them to implement their, you know, their new system of government. It was bloody, and it was a break. And I don't think anybody on this call, and you know, I just, we as God-fearing, peaceful people, don't want that to come.
Yeah.
And you know, who wants to go? You know, but I'll tell you, 5 years ago, I thought, man, we got to rally everybody. And of course, all these documents and the common law is important. But prior to that, we got to start chopping heads off. And man, who wants to go there? And that is, I mean, you know, and again, this isn't 1750. And so this, you know, the machinery, the military industrial, you know, war machinery that's out there is off the chart. And so what I'm saying is, I believe that the bloody revolution will be when they bring this thing completely down. Now, I don't know if it's happening in the next 4 years. My gut says within 15 years, and that seems like a long time, but man, it's not that far away. But within 15 years, we've got to be ready to step in the moment right before it totally comes down. Now, you know, that's just kind of my thoughts and feelings, you know. But when Michael was talking, I thought, well, the only way prior to what we're experiencing today, but you know, 20 or 30 or 100 years ago, you would have said the only way that could have happened is by revolution, by true revolution, which is bloody, which has been bloody in the past. Well, with what's being orchestrated, and we know that God is in full control, we've got to build critical mass, we've got to build strength in numbers, and we've got to be ready at just the moment before the thing just totally just, you know, vaporizes, that we're able to plug in. And so if that means, you know, whatever that looks like, but I think, man, yeah, this is, you know, it's just fascinating what's going on right before our eyes. So, and I yield.
Thank you, David. Michael?
Well, I just think that organizing is the key. I don't want to be repetitive here, but that's where I'm at. I agree with almost everything of your plan, David, your idea, and I believe it's totally constitutional. It's the design the founders gave us, precinct, counties, townships. But, you know, to initialize it, to implement it, you know, you need people, you need, you know, numbers, and we need a crucible. We need a favorable petri dish in America to implement such a project. It's a massive undertaking, and it's at a very late hour in the game, and but miracles are possible. I just feel that the best trigger catalyst that we have is the crime of 9/11. I believe that crime has the ability to penetrate political boundaries and ignite people's motivation once they find out the truth about 9/11. David, I'd like to ask you, Walker, there, are you familiar, and I'm assuming you are, but I'd like to hear it from your own, you know, words. Are you aware of the truth of 9/11? I assume you do.
Yes, sir, without a doubt, and I would agree with you. With that being said, I would say that what we are in the midst of right now is 9/11 on steroids.
Bingo.
I truly believe it, you know, and so we are blessed to be, who knows where we're at, if you know, on a scale of 1 to 10 or percentage-wise, are we 50% through this thing? Are we 20%? You know, I don't believe we've begun. I mean, this is a major operation. And but yeah, I agree with you. It's a number of these things, whether it's the JFKs, whether it's, you know, whether it's down in South America and Chile in 73, all these things accumulating. But man, this one here is man, it is unbelievable. And it's just fascinating. And so with that being said, I think the people are oblivious to what's going on. But yes, I agree with you, Michael. You know, in the vein of 9/11, I feel that this, call it what you will, you know, this that we're going through right now is just that times a million, and we just don't have much time. We don't have much time. But God's working. I mean, God is working, and I believe you talked about numbers, and the first thing that came to my mind, because it is economic, like you know, like Charles said, not necessarily dollars and cents, but this world has been set up under that paradigm. So the moment you said, you know, that we need to organize and get numbers, I thought of mergers and acquisitions. Mergers and acquisitions. So we continue to, just like Charles said, we continue to you know, we don't waver on our principles. We continue to move down the road with documents, with structure, with cornerstone, with foundation. Again, don't misunderstand me here. It's been a ton of sweat and work, but nothing's been created out of thin air. We've just rediscovered what has been buried on purpose and lost. So it has come to the surface. We've been blessed to grab it. And mergers and acquisitions, so we've got to begin to build critical mass in numbers. And the only thing, you know, that I can pray for is that when this thing comes down, we have touched every soul, every soul on the face of this planet, so that they'll have no alternative but to, you know, but to jump on board. Because, you know, a guy told me a long time ago, there's only a few really, really bad, evil people in this world. The thing is, they move around a lot, and they and they're fast. And in 2020, they've got every bell and whistle and technology available. So we've got the numbers. We've got the people. And we just and so what are we waiting on? Well, I think we're waiting on this final the final hammer to drop. And again, when does it happen? That's anybody's guess. But man, I can't speak for you two gentlemen, but you'd have to be calloused and asleep to not feel what's coming. And so we've got to be poised and ready. And what I heard tonight, you know, there's not a person on this call tonight that has anything to say about the direction of the documents and of the common law and getting back to and the way this thing's set up. It feels to me that where we're all kind of where our opportunity is building critical mass, and that's why there's got to be some merging and some, you know, or you know, and I think it's smart to merge to get to before this hammer drops. And so, yeah, that's kind of my two cents. But to answer your question, yeah, 9/11 huge, but nothing like what's going on here. So, I guess.
Yeah, I think finding common ground, common denominator, is the key to the unification. And I can't think of a better common denominator than the current tragedy of COVID scamdemic. And it might be 19 years ago, but the second would be the crime of 9/11. And then, of course, a third is the Fed, which is the engine of all tyranny, the Federal Reserve. The love of money is the root of all evil, Jesus said. So, anyways, I think we've had a good substantive meeting, and I'm going to have to depart right now and join this Zoom call. Hope to hear you on the next one, David. You gave a nice input tonight.
Yeah, this was refreshing. I appreciate it. I was a little late, but I'll be on here more often, and I'm real excited about what you guys got going on. So great stuff.
Fantastic. Well, Charles, I'm going to have to run, so it was nice being on with you guys, and we'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Yes. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, David. I'm going to
go ahead. You have a great night, gentlemen.
Good night to you both.